Welcome to World Cup Report Worldwide, a podcast dedicated to worldwide events in the Blood Bowl community, with your hosts, Tim and Steve. Welcome to Episode 7 of World Cup Report Worldwide. This is Steve, a.k.a. Kilowoggy. With me, as always, is Tim. How's it going, Tim?
Terrifically great. How are you?
I'm doing well. Work has been a pain in the butt, but that's okay. I'm not at work now, so I'm not going to worry about it.
Yeah, that's where you messed up, having to work.
Well, it does pay for a lot of the trips. In fact,
yeah, bad choice.
All the trips and my food and my housing. You know what? It kind of pays for everything, so it's an even exchange. Well,
I guess.
We planned on this episode being Dungeon Bowl, hopefully. Yeah, so that'll probably come next week at this point. But there were some rules changes to Immortal Cup, and we figured we'd get the Ottawa committee on the line, and they can discuss it with us. And again, make it very clear that they're not the ones who made the changes. It was the steering committee. They're separate people.
Yeah, it's two completely separate entities between those running the tournament, posting everything online, etc., and those making the rules determinations.
Yeah. And they kind of got the brunt of the feedback from... It didn't really seem to be too many people, because they still got a couple of months to go, but... Oh, well. Well, we did an interview with them, so we can cut right to that, unless you have anything else to say.
Nope, I'm just excited to talk to those guys again. They're both great dudes.
Yes, they are. So, without further ado, here they are. Okay, and here we are again with the Immortal guys. The guys running it, not making the rules. We'll get to that a little bit later. How about you guys go ahead and introduce yourselves again?
Well, hello. This is Ian McKinley. I am not the porn guy on the NAF, and I am sort of the chief Immortal gopher. I'm the guy that sort of does a lot. I don't always do it really well, but I'm here, and I'm happy to chat with you guys.
It's always a good way to introduce yourself. I'm the guy that does a lot.
That sets me up too. So what am I, the guy who tells people to do stuff a lot?
That's yes.
Kind of rough.
You're
thanks
our,
for having
our
me back
leader,
on.
Our, one of our leaders.
One of the co-leads of the Immortal Ottawa build.
Okay. And with me still is Tim. So the reason we are gathering here again, ladies and gentlemen, is... Recently, the rules went over a little bit of revision, and we felt we should probably go over that since we went over the rules before, and then there was a little bit of, not too much blowback, but some, so we want to address that.
Yeah.
So first off, let's go ahead and go over the rules changes. Tim, why don't you tell us what the changes to the Megastars are?
Okay, so on Megastars, there's sort of a couple of changes. It's laid out here that you can only have one of the same star player on the squad in total, for sure. Also, if you have a Megastar, you can't additionally have more normal stars on that those bottom tier teams. But the big changes are just there's several Megastars, or not officially Megastars, but now counting as Megastars for this event, added to the list here. Couple of them are Cindy Pie Whistle's one you see on a lot of lists like this, Dribble and Drool, even though I think they're only available for Slan teams with the way these rules are written. We have Lord Borak 2, and then new star player Skitter Stab added as a Megastar.
And I don't think you guys probably have any answer to this, but is there a particular reason you think that these were added? Or just playability, because I know that the comment came out that there was a lot of playtesting, and that's why these rules were changed a little bit. Again, not major changes, but tweaked some. Were these just seen to be too good of players, I'm guessing?
Well, we can only speculate onto the reasons that the Immortal Cup steering committee took the final decisions it did in terms of the rule revisions, just to return to a point that we've been keen to make, is that You know, the Ottawa Amoracle Cup organizing committee is that. We organize the event. We are handed the rule set to us by a steering committee that has a couple of key roles, one of which is it decides, you know, based on bids submitted, you know, who the org, you know, the host city will be. It also decides what the rule set is, and it gives the rule set to that host organizing committee. So, you know, there, for me to speak to why would be speculation. I do know that the one big tournament that I run with my partner in crime, Drakenspear, Capital City Kickoff, sort of one of the big ones in Eastern Canada, that, you know, it got one just wiped out by an Underworld team with a Giant. And Underworld doesn't need the help of a Giant. So I don't know if that made its way back to the steering committee and they looked at that and then based a decision on the results they're seeing from that and from other events. But that could very well be that they spotted some issues with the original rule set. Now, Grant may have more to add to that.
I think it's interesting. Usually, like with Skitter dropping so recently, there's not a lot of time for people to explore what that star adds. I mean, I think we can see pretty easily what it adds to some teams. I thought it was really interesting. People on the Facebook group, the Blood Bowl community Facebook group, at first seemed to kind of miss the point. Like, oh boy, what Skaven need another Gutter Runner for? That's clearly not the thing here. It's the teams that don't have that incredible edge speed monster that now gain access to it, which really flips the dynamic of how that plays out. And I can understand why the steering committee would want to say, we don't have time to explore how game breaking or not Skitter is, but you can see just at first blush with what that stat line looks like, this should maybe not be part of this event, which I can get behind.
Yeah, definitely.
There is one point I think I'd like to make based on the introduction here is that given that the Megastar list has been expanded and Dribble and Drool have appeared on it, as well as Lord Borak, no Tier D team can take either Dribble or Drool or Lord Borak.
Right.
So although they're not officially banned, they're de facto banned.
Yeah, I was going to ask that exact thing. Like, they're effectively unplayable now, so.
Well, yeah, I mean,
kind of surprising. Like, you can't take them with anything.
Exactly.
I'm not against it. Like, I don't like seeing Lord Borak. I mean, he's a pain in the butt whenever you play against him, so.
He is, yeah.
He's very good.
We did mention, or I guess you did mention about the Giants. And a little change to the Giants. While the Giant remains as an inducement costing 2 skill points, it will also count as having rostered a regular star player in terms of the number of stars a team may select.
So. That's correct. So it won't cost you the, you know, you having to cough up 2 skill points as an inducement and then coughing up another 2 points, skill points as a star player. No, it's only going to cost you the 2 skill points. But if you take a Giant, it counts as if you have rostered a star player in terms of the other star players that you could, theory, bring onto a team.
That makes sense. There's also some inducements removed. You want to go over those, Tim?
Oh, yep, sure. So, yeah, it looks to me like the ones that are completely removed are the Wizard, the Wog Drummers, and the Medical Ungent. I guess the Wizards were surprised to me they were in there in the first place.
Yeah.
I know Wog Drummers can be really devastating, potentially. I'm interested to see how that Oklahoma Bowl goes with everybody having them.
Yeah.
But
it sucks, too. It's like, oh, awesome. We're getting a, you know, awesomely made Pedro Ramos
yes.
Wog Drummer, and now they can't be used at this event. I'm like, oh, okay, fine.
Right. Yeah.
The, but it's always nice to have an assistant coach though. Model on your sideline,
yeah.
Steve.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'll have him. And I have no clue what the medicinal unguent does. Like, whatever.
Yeah, it's basically a more expensive kind of better apothecary, I guess.
Yeah, and you know what? I know when you invited us on the first time and we kind of talked about this, we also just speculated, you know, why do you think everything is available? And we said, hey, you know, maybe that's just the way the steering committee has read the rules and said, hey, it's all available because it's all in the rule book.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that steering committee has been able to look at the results of many North American tournaments that have used the rule set so far, mm-hmm. And then have decided to adjust.
Makes sense.
Yeah, I must have missed ones where that last one came up and was good. I don't know. I never heard of anybody taking that. But I very well could have
missed it. Bowl? Sorry, you missed the invite. Sorry, man.
I guess.
You know, in the grand scheme of things, I'm glad that people were looking at rules and thinking, okay, this actually might be a bit broken and we should address those issues. So I'm glad they did it. I know that you can take a philosophy that, you know, it's not good to do these things midway, you know, in a process in terms of having released a rule set. But I think I'd rather have a tournament, especially an important one like this, where the rules are better rather than not so good.
And it was still released, what, 2 months before rosters were needed to be submitted? Because we're looking at, what, mid-April for that?
Exactly.
Yeah, so you had 2 months, the final 2 months, to look over your roster and go, oh, well, I guess I need to change it. 2 months, come on, figure it out. It's not the biggest deal.
I mean, I have some sympathy for people who may have been painting up teams just so that they could have Lord Borak, but...
Snotling team with the Skitter Stab Stab. I know that feeling. Yep. I may have been looking at that. And then I think the last thing that we had to address was they also swapped around the Dwarven Runesmiths and Team Mascots. Team Mascots now appear in the No Skill Point Cost column, and the Dwarven Runesmiths now appear in the One Skill Point column. Okay. $10. Anyone know what a Dwarven Runesmith does?
I mean, vaguely, yes.
Vaguely doesn't count.
All right.
Smiths the runes, obviously.
That's true. Yeah, I'll give you that.
Do I get $10 American?
No, I'm not going to give you 10, hey, 10 bits.
We could live a year on that.
Nice.
Sorted out
I think
my
you roll a D6 for him, and on like a 1, he doesn't work, and you lose him completely. And on something else... He, like, you get a roll for him on the next drive and he doesn't work. And on, if it's a success, I think you get a skill.
I can see why that was changed. Okay.
You're right. Yeah, I'm pretty sure what he does is give you a bonus skill.
Okay.
On a player.
Team Mascot gave you an extra reroll or something.
Yeah, but you read
roll. Is the Blood Bowl rule tab beside that just says convoluted?
That's the tab you put on most of the pages.
Right. Well, it's actually, the Death Zone, so... Those are all kind of convoluted.
Yeah, that's true. I think most of the stuff is fine. You know? Yeah. But it comes to an issue of just not seeing it before, and then you have to have the other person explain it to you, and then you have to hope that they're explaining it correctly.
Mm-hmm.
The last two tournaments I've gone to, someone's had something that they've explained to me, and it was wrong.
Sure.
It's like, oh. Well, that's not exactly how that works. So I think it is. No, let me go look in the book. And I pull out the book. And I'm like, no, see? Oh, okay. Well, your guy does not have frenzy. Your last game you won, you probably shouldn't have.
Right. Jeez. But, I remember you talking about that. I guess it would be, I would say you probably do want to bring a copy of Death Zone with you to this tournament. Because a lot of these inducements come from there. And not just your regular rule book.
Yeah.
Agreed.
And, of course, you guys will have referees if we have questions.
That's the plan, yep, to make sure that there's ref judges there if need be.
And we'll put in a request on Discord saying, Table 73 needs assistance, please.
You know, that brings us to a point that maybe you want to bring up is Table 73 implies a lot of tables.
Mm-hmm.
And just in terms of at time of recording, we're currently at 49 teams registered, which brings us to 196 coaches paid up and ready to come to Ottawa for the tournament. As you all know, there's going to be teams that fall off perhaps, mm-hmm. or, you know, hopefully there'll be even more teams that jump on the wagon. But at the moment, we're within striking distance of surpassing Chaos Cup's current North American attendance record for a Blood Bowl event. And we're hopeful that we might be able to eclipse it by the deadline day. And that's one thing I really wanted to highlight today with you guys, is that March 3rd, that's when we're closing the doors on registrations. So if you want to get to Ottawa and participate in hopefully the biggest Blood Bowl event ever held in North America, and may we hold that title for a week.
Exactly.
May somebody else eclipse us a week later, and that Blood Bowl just keeps growing and growing and growing. But for the moment, it'll be the biggest, and if you want in, you've got until March the 3rd to get your registration into us.
Do you have a maximum number of available space still at this point?
We do. I mean, at this point, I don't think we're going to get close to it, just because of the momentum of registrations hasn't been what perhaps it might have been at this you know, leading into the conclusion. But we would be at almost 250. I think it would be 246, I think, is the actual limit.
The space that we have. Yep.
Great. Yeah, so hopefully you get it. 10 plus more teams without a problem.
Yeah, I mean, there are officially 13 slots left for us to sell.
Great.
And you're giving them away half price if you register now. No.
Yes, if you're American, it's basically half price.
Still not going to happen for a lot of people, unfortunately.
No. But we're really excited with the numbers we have so far.
Yes, it's still amazing. Even if you're, I mean, at this point, there's no doubt you'll be the second if you're not the first. And that's nothing to sneeze at. You'll be the largest in Canada for sure.
Yep.
So.
And we're also just very excited to kickstart like the return of the Moracle Cup across North America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was a long, long delay. And I do want to put it out there, you know, the steering committee that is responsible for providing the rule set to the organizing committee, you know, they also went through a very long pandemic and, you know, had their own personal life disrupted in major ways, and also saw like major shifts in the entire rules of Blood Bowl. Mm-hmm. So, you know, us working with them and requesting, you know, hey, maybe this needs to be reevaluated since 2020. You know, years have gone by. So I can certainly appreciate that it's not easy for that committee to stay on top of everything. The one thing I am excited, so I proposed to the outgoing president, who will still be on the steering committee going forward, once I join the steering committee after our Ottawa event is done, I proposed that the tournament director be a person looped into the Moracle Cup steering committee. And his first reaction was, well, I'm not so sure that that falls under his role. And I said, hey, if only to be the person who has probably the best understanding of the current meta, and certainly the best understanding of what tournaments are being submitted across all of North America and what those tournament rules look like, to be able to give the steering committee a good idea of where to go from.
Yeah.
And then Nate was like, yeah, that makes a ton of sense. I just don't want him to have to like come to a bunch of more meetings that he's already busy with so much other work. He's got other things to do under his profile. But pulling the tournament director in, I mean, if it's not Alex Weiss by the next time it comes around, whatever. Or if it is Alex Weiss, I mean, that person, I think, is still going to have a lot to potentially contribute to the steering committee and maybe help advise making a more robust rule set that will maybe hopefully not need any adjustments.
It'd be really nice if, you know, this is my own personal opinion, but I still think there needs to be like one cohesive rule set for all the big events. So if this is a big team event, like, you know, World Cup or Euro Bowl or stuff like that, then the NEF kind of has it in their power to where they could go, this is the big national team event. These are the rules. They're going to be consistent across the world. So we have a running, consistent rule set where we don't have to worry about this stuff all the time. Because it's
I've heard you talk about that before. And you know what? It's funny. Ben on the, is it Bonehead podcast?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He has the exact same opinion as you.
Yeah.
Both of you have said the same thing in different ways with different accents.
And my partner in the Eye of Nuffle podcast, Mirkel, has suggested the same thing.
Yeah. Hopefully, right.
There feel like certainly it. Be a season of standard or whatever the Magic players call it, right? Like,
yeah.
This is what it's going to look like for the season. And then once that's done, it moves into whatever new block. Yeah.
And if he had certain elements that could maybe change a little bit for like the flair of that particular tournament, it'd be nice if at least, say, the tiering and what stars count as what and those kind of things were consistent across all those tournaments. That at minimum would be a plus to me.
I agree. And maybe that'll come sometime in the future. Not the place to get into discussions about the current NAF president, probably, but that might throw some wrenches in the system. But I just know, like, back when I ran HeroClix events, they were run in a public's place. And I made sure that we ran every single one by the rules of the game so that anybody who came from anywhere around the nation and dropped into play, playing by the right rules. I kind of want that the same thing for Blood Bowl, you know? Little changes here, little changes there. But if I play in Florida and Giants are allowed in a big event, but if I go to Washington and Giants are not allowed, but now you can take stat increases with money or something, it's a lot. It's a lot of different things. And, of course, not many people are hitting a ton of tournaments every single year, but just the commonality would be nice. But that's neither here nor there. So we got...
Well, this is the kind of thing that you can bring to the steering committee after you host it and win the bid for the next one.
When would the next one be? Do you even have an idea?
You know what? I think Nate told me that they were going to be opening up bids not that far away.
Because there's...
Like within 12 months, I believe the bid process is going to open.
Because this is a different discussion. There's no good answer to that question right now.
Right.
Because if it's 2024 that we're doing this, 2025 is too soon. 2026 is the year before World Cup. 2027 is World Cup. 2028, year after. And 2029 is 5 years out. And steering committee is not going to be like, yeah, let's wait 5 years until the next one.
Right.
And
especially after the long break that already happened, you would think you'd want another long break.
So that's going to be difficult when it comes time, depending on how World Cup bids and placements and stuff go.
It's true, but we need to get back on track.
Not disagreeing. I know Tim's a big proponent of doing like a yearly one.
I would love that to happen.
Yeah.
I don't know if America is ready to handle that, but that would be the ideal thing, like the Euro Bowl is, have it every year. Even if it's every year but World Cup year would still be the kind of ideal to me. But
that'd be really interesting,
And I guess that at that point it kind of, do we want it to take the place of the big majors, you know? Because if we did, if a Moracle Cup was every year, except for the year of World Cup, then are more people going to be going to that than, say, Chaos Cup and Spike?
Right.
You know, and is that, do you want to draw people away from Chaos Cup? But it's also a team tournament versus a solo tournament. So both of those can exist in the same universe, I think. You know, and this is not a great way to say this, but the placement for Immortal Cup is not conducive to travel. You know, the trying to fly into there is not great. So
the Great White North is difficult to get around. Yeah.
So essentially, like, I and other people are flying into Vancouver and then taking a train to Ottawa. Because
no, you're not. You're not flying into Vancouver and taking the train.
Not
to
Vancouver.
Ottawa.
Not
Toronto,
at all. Man.
Yeah, probably not Vancouver.
Toronto. Yeah. Sorry.
Whoa! I just realized you said that.
Yeah. Sorry.
Toronto.
I don't know.
Same.
Some Canadian place.
I mean, they're both in Canada, right? How far apart could they be?
I've been, I've decided not to go to Euro Bowl, so I'm going to Spike. So that's been in my head.
Excellent.
On your radar. Cool.
Yeah. So no offense. You guys like two or three big cities. I confused them. I'm sorry.
Oh, geez. But you know, your point is a valid one in the sense that, I mean, okay, there were reasons. I'm sure there were very good reasons that Ottawa got the build. But if you look at it from purely air connections, I mean, Toronto, Vancouver, Calgary, well, less Quebec. So Calgary maybe, but you know, and there are other places in North America that would be ideal too.
And what I was going to say off that was, even with the not great location for traveling, you're still getting huge numbers. You know, this will either be the biggest, hopefully, or the second largest event in North America. And it's right after, you know, the largest one. Chaos Cup will be, you know, it was only 6 months ago or so. By the time you guys actually run, it'll be, I guess, technically 7 months. Because it is in November. And you're still seeing 200 people. So I think, maybe I'm biased, but I think we could run a Moracle every year and still get, you know, 150, 200 at it and Chaos Cup. No problem. So I would rather...
There's no other big team tournament in the U.S.
Yeah.
Right. Or if, geez, I'm sorry, in the Americas, I should say.
Right.
Well, the next one is likely to be in the U.S., right?
So. Yeah, but that was rude of me. It could be anywhere. But there actually, isn't one in North America or South America other than this.
But you know, there's a good point there, is that one place, we've only got one registrant so far from Florida. And there are brilliant air connections into Ottawa from lots of places in Florida. Wow. Come on, you Floridians. If you're a supposed hotspot in Blood Bowl, prove it. Send some people up to Ottawa.
That is weird. That's
surprising. Yeah.
Hey, well, I guess
Florida man loses passport in mouth of gator, I suppose.
There is something to that because most Americans don't have passports. There's just no reason for it. You know, we don't travel that much, unfortunately. Or if we do, we stay inside the states because it's massive.
Oh, absolutely. But it would be wonderful to see a few more make the trip up.
Yeah, definitely.
At this point, that means more Canadians went down for Chaos Cup than Floridians are coming up for Moracle.
Yeah. And there's a good 100 and some Floridians, so... Some of them could step up for sure.
Yeah, you'd think they'd have at least two or three squads.
Yeah, I agree. At the moment, I think it's we've got one mercenary. And that's a last point I would like to make is that if there are people out there that just can't scrounge together three friends to get here, there's a page where you can sign up as a mercenary and I will place you into a team that needs a player. So you can sign up. Payment will be done via the team that pulls you in. But there is space for people to come on as solo people.
That's always good because I know that one of our squad members bailed on us. So we're looking to fill it without using mercs. But if need be, it's always nice that they're there.
Yep, indeed.
Well, Tim, any final thoughts or any final questions?
I don't think I really have any. Well, this isn't a real question, but if anybody like... has big bones to pick, can they get a hold of the steering committee in any way, or should they just send those angry tweets to you guys?
What you should do is make them an email address, the NAF Moracle Cup steering committee at gmail.com, and then just go, here you guys go.
Yeah,
I made you
out.
An email. Have fun.
Oh my gosh. I was going to make a joke about a bounce back for that email.
Hey, any last comments from either one of you two?
I just wanted to say thanks again for having us. I really have been enjoying the World Cup report and the pivot you've made to sharing more about some other major tournaments around the world. And we really appreciate having the spotlight shone on us for a little bit.
Cool.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, and thank you very much again. And also, if people are going to get in early enough on the Friday, don't forget the Sevens tournament that we're accepting registrations for, the Timbits Cup. You can register via the website as well. There's this page devoted to the Timbits Cup, and we've cracked 20 registrants. We're up to 22 already. It's a pairings event, so we currently have 11 pairings of 22. We're going to put more focus on that, and we are sure everybody will once they've gotten past the registration deadline and whatnot, and as they're focusing more on the trip.
So by pairings event, you mean one versus one? Like, it's not a... It's just a regular event. It's not a pair of two people versus a pair of two people or anything?
Yes.
Okay. That's why I was wanting to make sure. So,
yep.
And for that one, I'm assuming registration is going to be open past the time of registration for this.
Yes, well past, and it okay. might be even that are able to integrate people at the last moment. They may not get their engraved beer mug that we're looking to provide because it's being held at a microbrewery in the touristy part of Ottawa. And nice. We intend to engrave beer mugs from the place with the NAF logo and people's NAF names.
Oh, wow.
So you might not get that if you come in late, but other people will.
Do we have to play if we register?
if you want a beer mug
here for a cup. Friend,
yeah.
I mean,
if you want a beer mug, I'll line you up.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to say no. Might be a pain to travel back with, but, the last one came back fine. And that was
I've got mine still on the shelf too.
Yeah. Which that one was very questionable. I was like, I don't think this one's going to last. But it did. So, I was very happy. Well, as always, thanks for coming on. Hopefully everybody will go to the website, sign up. If you know any Floridians who have not signed up, guilt them, tell them they're horrible people. Make sure that they get signed up and come. Because they got to... If they don't bring that trophy back home, Florida's going to be lacking,
That's right.
All right. Thank you much, guys. And we'll be talking to you guys later.
Thanks so much. See ya.
Thank you for listening to World Cup Report Worldwide. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/WCReportBB. You can email us at worldcupreportworldwide@gmail.com or at worldcupreportbb@gmail.com.